Midnight Mobile.
4ZLK, KD2VNG, morning.
Glenn, how are you today?
Not bad. News is getting a bit depressing. I'll find someone else, something else to watch.
The amount that I take in, try to stay a little bit informed, but too much of it, you're not really informed, I don't think, anymore.
What you watch? Mostly these days I watch a lot of BBC programs and news programs. A lot of times gives you a different perspective on things other than, you know, whatever is the standard American party line.
Again, and I didn't realize they quit broadcasting to North America. So unless the conditions are good, you got to get them out of Africa or Asia.
If they still are on shortwave, yeah, I don't know if anyone. The only people I hear on shortwave are like the religious broadcasters, who seem like they have a couple of 100,000 watts of power. I mean, there's the one station, WWCR in Bethel, Pennsylvania. When I lived in New York City, the ground wave of that station would basically wipe out 40 meters. So, yeah, shortwave is pretty much, now, if you have the way to, if you have a way to go through a proxy server in Britain, you can get the BBC iPlayer website. You can get access to all their programming, but it has to think your IP address is somewhere in Britain.
Well, I think there's some of those programs you can buy that will move your IP address, or you can pick the location you want people to think you are. So maybe that would work. I don't know. I haven't checked into them enough.
This work. I have an account with NordVPN, which has VPN, you know, proxy servers pretty much everywhere. So BBC or CBC or any other English language programming anywhere. Yeah, that definitely does work, and that's one way to get by the region restrictions. So, but it's, you know, the BBC news channel has become, lately, it's like all death, murder, and mayhem 24/7. It's starting to get a bit much.
Started several months ago, maybe even a couple of years ago, we started watching British television, my wife and I did, and we've been watching several of their crime dramas. And they do some really good series. It takes you a while to figure out. Most of the stuff on American TV, we'll look at each other and say, they did it, you know, when the show first starts. But they'll run a story over 6 episodes that are more than an hour long. So we started doing that, and I don't think I've turned the satellite TV on in a while.
A good miniseries. The crime drama shows I haven't looked for much. Let's see. There used to be one called Luther. There was another one called DCI Banks. Many, many years ago, it may still be on, there was one called The Bill, which was, you know, just like an ordinary police drama, I guess like Law and Order or something. I'll start looking for more of those. You know, lately my favorite guilty pleasure is Waterloo Road, which is rubbish, but, you know, reasonably entertaining rubbish.
We've watched some of. It's called Midsummer Murders. And it started, I think, back in either the early 80s or the late 70s. It's still running today. Now, the detective is different, but I mean, it's gone on for, well, maybe it was late 80s. It's gone on for 30-something years. I think it's crazy how long some of these shows have been on.
You know, a lot of them have been on 20 or 30 seasons, you know, longer than a lot of American shows have been on. But, you know, their television is not that much different. I mean, I see in the BBC iPlayer website, I see The Apprentice, Oh, good Lord. Was that one of their bad ideas that came here? Or was that one of those... one of those that migrated the other way? You know, of course, there was a an other show based on that Master Chef show. I guess we get their bad television ideas and they get ours.
Right. I think what it is they look at popularity. And there's a lot of bad television that I would say was bad television that people wasted a lot of time watching becomes popular. Anyway, well, Glenn, I hope you stay dry today. Are you out to work today or just mobbling around?
I'm gonna leave the house today. I mean, last time I was out on the road, it started raining so bad. I'm like, gee, I'm on Highway 14. I'm going like 20 miles under the speed limit because I literally can't see 20 feet in front of me. So not good travel conditions unless you absolutely have somewhere to go.
I was coming down Whitehorse. It was raining pretty good. And the right-hand lane was flooded. Cars were hitting it, you know, spraying water everywhere. And I was behind a Cadillac Escalade SUV, and their lights are bright anyway, the brake lights. And he was tailgating somebody, and he couldn't see the lane. I could barely see the lanes, and he kept drifting back and forth across the lanes and hitting his brakes, constantly flashing his brakes because he was tailgating. So as soon as that car moved out of the way, he sped up and got behind the next car and was doing the same thing, kept drifting back and forth across both lanes.
Do that. I've learned long ago, not much reason to pass people generally. You don't get there any faster. And I've seen some dangerous maneuvering going on, even on the interstate, where some time ago I had some truck... It was on some section of 385, pickup with Texas plates, of course, and he was passing everyone, getting behind them, pulling out to pass again, getting right behind them on their bumper, pulling out to pass again. So, I don't know. Now, maybe they drive that way in Texas because there's a lot of empty space. If you don't drive 100 miles an hour, you're going to get left behind.
Okay. Well, I've been in Texas a couple times and driven on the roads, and I do know one thing. They've got signs everywhere. Unless you're passing, stay in the right lane, which we don't even have those signs here. I didn't see a lot of tailgating, but there was plenty of room to drive fast. The interstates were long and straight and wide, and the roads were good, too.
You've got some questionable roads around here. Yeah, I don't think I've ever been to Texas. No, I never have. I've never been anywhere east of the west of the Mississippi. That's not true. Los Angeles and Seattle, Washington, and Vancouver, British Columbia. Okay, so I'm wrong about that. I should have seen more of the country when I had the chance.
Several places you just mentioned that would, I can't believe you forgot about when you said you'd never been west of the Mississippi.
That slipped my mind. Might have been a while ago. Let's see. Las Vegas, Nevada. All right. Actually, then quite a few places. Let's see. L.A., Vegas, Seattle, Vancouver, B.C. But then again, that was usually, you know, short trips of a day or two. I don't regularly go out that way, and it's been quite a long time. Late 90s, early 2000s.
It does seem a little different when you fly. I've driven across the Mississippi, and I've flown across it a few times. It doesn't quite feel the same.
Maybe because I never drove across the Mississippi and actually drove out all that bloody way. And, you know, you get on an airplane in a few hours to appear somewhere else. You don't really have the sensation of having actually traveled very much. So, yeah, I flew to all those places, obviously. I mean, yeah, how long would it take to drive out west? I would say maybe allocate more than a week or more. It would take time. It would take 2 days just to go across Texas.
I was on 40. I think it was 40. Might have been 20. Crossed over the Texas state line, and it said, next exit, you know, had a sign for an advertisement. Next exit, exit number 697.
And, okay, so, and you were coming in, I guess, from the west. So, now the exits on most roads usually follow the mile markers. So, okay, exit 667, so another 600 miles, and maybe you'll be through, you know, the better part of the state. It would take at least 2 days to cross that state.
I don't like to drive like that all the time, but can't remember what we went out there for. Oh, I think it was my oldest son's wing ceremony. That's what it was. No, that was in Jacksonville. It was his induction into the Air Force. That's what it was. I don't know if they call it an induction. When he graduated from college and went in as a first lieutenant.
Blair, now with the Air Force, or how many years ago was this?
Yeah, it's been 5 or 6 years. He's still in. He's a captain now. He was a WISO, weapon systems operator, on the B-1B. And he transferred out of that. And he's out in California, and he's not allowed to tell me what he's doing. So I'm not sure what he does. I have an idea, but I'm not sure.
Air Force runs a few of those programs. What is it? All the UFO people always, you know, something about Groom Lake, Nevada, or what is it, Ellis Air Force Base, whatever's in that area. And that actually is, I think, a legitimate Air Force testing area, but supposedly that's where all the extraterrestrials are being kept.
W4FCM.
L2BNG, go ahead.
1 second, KD4FD, he's not up yet. That W4FCM, he'll be up in a little while. Thanks, guys.
Break at any time, we're just talking. N4ZLK.
You're the lady of your sleep. I'm a 6 o'clock guy, I don't care, rain, shine, but the sun's hot.
Ahead, I may have to go back in a few minutes. Yeah, I'm not traveling anywhere today in particular. I'm going to stay at home and find something to do. Because weather conditions are just not, you know, if you don't have to go anywhere, then don't.
Gas conditions are if you don't have to go anywhere, don't. Anyway, good to talk to you this morning, Glenn. I'll let Fred go ahead and try to get his son, and hope you have a good day. N4ZLK.
Good morning, Glenn. I'm really done. He wakes up, he'll call me between now and 9. So on a rainy day, he runs a landscaping company. Not much he can do. And I'm going to read all day is all I'm going to do. And poke around the internet and see what's there. Okay, W4FCM listening. Thanks, guys.
Just lurking, we can still monopolize the channel. Yeah, what was I saying? Something about Ellis Air Force Base, Area 51, Little Green Men, all that sort of rubbish. Yeah, the Air Force, I imagine, out on the West Coast has a lot of strange little things going on.
Something to do with drones, but I don't know. He can't say, he won't say, and that's fine. I don't bug him about it.
Could well be. I saw something or read something. Yeah, this is the tiny little office building in San Diego where all the drones everywhere are being flown out of. Yeah, you know, could be that, but... Don't know, can't say. So, you know, you never know. It's the drone commander, space commander, whatever it is. Or what is it now? Space Force.
another division now, and as far as I know, he didn't move out of the Air Force. But who knows? Maybe he couldn't tell me that either.
That seemed to me to be an idiotic move. Space Force basically came out of what? U.S. Space Command. You know, the agency that sits there and watches all the orbiting space junk to make sure nothing hits anything else. How big a division could that have been? A couple of hundred airmen? Or maybe a couple of dozen airmen? Or maybe two guys in Antarctica? It wasn't that big a division.
Phone call. I'll talk to you later. N4ZLK.
NAK 82BNG. All right, 73. Talk to you later.